Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ABL Poddamit, where pigs fly and Troy is booty. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's me, it's the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of automating sensation of innovation. And the man here with me today is a man who needs no introduction, and fuck it, this week you're not getting an introduction. Happy June 22nd, Mr. Altman. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing just fine and dandy on your good evening.
It is a fantastic evening. It is 9 o'clock. I have just had a Pop-Tart. I have just had a ginger ale. I am ready, willing, and gable to do this spring training podcast. Gary, I'm very excited. ABL is motherfucking back as of Thursday.
I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait.
I cannot wait either.
For South Carolina this year, I hope. But then again, I've been saying that the last 10 years, so what difference does it make?
It doesn't make any difference, Gary, aside from the fact that you are confident this time. You have four pitchers on the top 20. You got batters fluttering the list. Your meet the team page looks like a who's who of ABL elite. It should be a good season in South Carolina. Your team looks ready, willing, and gable to compete.
I get a gable.
you get a gable. That's a wrestling reference, Gary. But today we're going to touch on the biggest movers and shakers of the offseason, how we handle our roster management from our minor leagues to our catchers, from our resources. We've mentioned it before. We'll get into it again. And not only these two topics, Gary, we are also going to talk about the amount of catcher, which is something we've talked about offline about how many. We're nerds. We talk about how many catchers we carry in the minor leagues. But that's okay. We'll get into that today. It was literally 30 minutes
to talk about.
It was a 30-minute conversation this morning, but we'll talk about it. Welcome. You've already welcomed him publicly on your podcast. I have not. For those of you who don't know, the ABL Dugout, ran by Gary Alton, is absolutely fantastic. You should leave it a listen tomorrow. It's 14 minutes, so if it's too much to sit through at once, you can always pause it, go to lunch, take a shit, come back, listen to the rest later. From what I've heard, it will clean you right up.
Oh yeah, nothing but good cleaning material.
I would like to say, just briefly, I went and saw Warcraft this evening. There was not a single person in the theater. It was amazing. I was on my phone the entire time.
And how much did you spend for that ticket so you could be on your phone for that amount of time?
I don't know, like $6. There's this theater down like 10 miles away from me. That's like a little ran down theater. But the theater I usually go to with my wife or my buddies, it's like $12.50 for matinee. It sucks. But it is what it is. But
you paid $12.50 to go and sit there on your phone.
No, I went to the little cheap theater today by myself. Because when I go by myself, I just go to the little shitty theater. My wife hates going there. She says it's disgusting. The floors suck. My buddies refuse to go there. Me personally, it's $6. I'll go sit in the theater with sticky floors. I don't care.
I used to manage a movie theater. Two of them actually.
All right, go ahead. We got 5 minutes on this. Go ahead.
All right. It was the Drake Theater in New York City. It was in Queens.
How old
and
were you?
It was 18. Ooh. I managed the theater at 18. I was in charge of ordering all the concessions, scheduling the movies that went into the newspaper. I did all sorts of fun stuff with that: the hiring, the firing, the scheduling, all sorts of good stuff with that.
You're like Mr. 43-year-old man. You are actually back then weren't movies predominantly. It was more of a younger demographic that worked at theaters back in the day, right?
Yeah, well, it's still a young demographic. I think it is anyway. But they're more corporate now. But when I was running it, it was a dollar theater for a double feature. You ended up getting two movies for a dollar.
I don't think I've ever paid less than $6 for a movie at matinee ever, not once. There's this thing on my house called a drive-in. Hold on. There's this thing by my house. It's like 25 minutes away. It's called a drive-in, and you can see two movies for like $10, which is kind of cool.
drive-ins are cool. They're all gone in New York. They made multiplexes out of those, out of that land. But Ghostbusters, the reboot of that is coming on now with those four chicks. I refuse to see it. But
Kate
McMinnis, with Ghostbusters,
Kate,
when the original one came out before you were born,
Hold on, wait. I'm going to Google and seeing what year it was made. Go ahead, keep talking.
Okay. So when that one came out, the original with Bill Murray and Landis and Dan Aykroyd, I ended up making a phone call and I got in to see that movie for nothing. With professional courtesy. So that was one of the things I did. That we had access to is other theaters and stuff. But no, it was good stuff. Now the thing about the theater I was at, some of the people here might have seen Howard Stern's movie.
Yeah,
and I'm drawing a blank. No. He had another one, the Howard Stern story. You know, and I'll Google that now as I talk. But one of the scenes in that movie was when he was just starting
Private
out.
Private Parts, right?
Private Parts, that's the one.
Yeah.
There was a scene in there where he went to a movie premiere based on the radio station he was working at the time, and he represented the radio station. That scene in that movie was the Drake Theater, where I worked.
Oh, in New York.
Which was a
pretty big theater out there?
No, it was a dollar theater. It was a dollar theater. But that was where they put Howard Stern did the world premiere of whatever movie it was that he had to go to. So the theater I worked at was actually in that movie. So that was a claim to fame with it. So if you want to see the theater I worked at, go see Howard Stern's Private Parts where he goes to that premiere.
This is why
that's today's useless information.
You know what, Gary? I would like to confirm that the first Ghostbusters movie was in 1984. I was born in 1985, so you are correct. It was before I was born.
Shocking.
Hey, you know what? Ghostbusters 2 in 1989, I was a firm 4 years old. For the record, the four ladies who are in the new Ghostbusters record, three of them are hilarious. Melissa McCarthy, do not find her funny whatsoever. Don't get me wrong. I find fat people generally hilarious. I do not find her funny. My kid, Cohen, actually, we sat down on they have the website Crackle, and I have a theater computer to my TV, and we actually watched the first Ghostbuster the other day together. He actually really liked it. So that was always fun. So that was great.
The first one was very good. The first one was I loved the first one.
Yeah, it was
second
very good.
Second one. Yeah. You got the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I mean, how can you go wrong with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
You can't. You absolutely can't.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I've seen the Michelin guy before, okay? Come on.
He's not the Michelin guy. This is a guy in Marshmallow.
Whatever.
But he's not.
Here's the thing. You guys can talk fucking music around me all day, but I am a movie aficionado. I've spent far too much time watching television and movies in my entire life. I actually have this app real quick before we get, 10 minutes here, fucking gone, whatever. I have this app called TV Show Time, and you actually click every TV show you've ever watched and click the episodes, and it tells you how many months and how many days. I've spent 6 months and like 2 weeks watching television in my life. Like, a lot of that, I probably wasn't paying attention, but the fact that it got that high regardless has me a little concerned. I mean, I'm 31, so I wasted half part of my life on watching TV. But either way, Gary, let's talk about some baseball, man. Let's talk about what something
– Yeah, why not? What the hell? That's kind of what we're here for, right?
Well, I mean, hold on. Let me forward Troy's email because he can't find it himself.
I sent him the link in Slack.
He said, yeah, well, I guess we both just sent it at the same time then.
No, I've had it out already a couple of minutes while you were going on your 6 hours of 6 days of television.
Well, no wonder why it actually, I posted it to whatever asshole. Neither here nor, and you know what's funny? I don't know if you saw, when I Googled Howard Stern Private Parts movie, it gave me this trailer. I posted the trailer. Troy's profile picture makes it look like he's actually looking up at that trailer that has a guy with a shirtless and nipple clamps on. So I will be screenshotting this and posting this later.
I could picture Troy with nipple clamps. I don't know why I would picture him with nipple clamps, but I could picture him with nipple clamps.
I'm not saying that I want to picture Troy with nipple clamps, but I'm just saying that I don't think if Troy had nipple clamps on, I'd be like, huh, that's shocking.
But I could picture him with the nipple clamps on in that Kansas City Royals getup that Goldie posted.
How about his wiener in that photo, huh? It was all about – and it was
I didn't look – I didn't. I refused to look at his package or lack thereof.
It was possibly stuffed, but that's the first thing my eyes were drawn to. What a man Troy is. Anyways, this was ABO Pod, damn it.
And there's 11 minutes of your life, everybody, and never getting back.
Yeah, right. Anyways, here we go. Okay, here we go. So, Gary, we're in the spring training.
I got to touch on something real. It's going to be real short. It'll probably be less than a minute. But
are you talking about Troy?
We're done with Troy. We've moved on. What we're going to have is we're going to have a 2028 standings prediction contest. Prizes has yet to be determined, but there'll be something for everybody.
Specs for all.
Yeah, nipple clamps for all. But in the meantime, ballots will be – I'll be collecting ballots. We'll have something finalized in the next few days, hopefully before Thursday's end, on what's at stake. But the only thing I can tell you, it's not going to be players. There's not going to be any creative players. There's just too much on Goldie to do that. There'll be something that benefits everybody. Wow, on Slack, Pod Damn It, right now, you can go see the gimpies of the nipple clamps. Oh my God. See, on one screen, I got it. Anybody who's seen my setup sees that I got a laptop and a desktop with two screens. So I got three screens going here. It's like mission control. On the desktop, I have it minimized. Everything collapsed. On the laptop, however, there is a very well-endowed woman wearing two nipple clamps. It's absolutely outstanding. I think that's
McCarthy,
as a matter of fact.
And they could be yours for
but
only
anyway,
34
getting back,
minutes.
Let me finish this up so we can just move on. But
okay, wait,
the
but let me, no, you can't.
The 2028,
can.
Hang on a Go second. Ahead. Holy crap. Hold you. Put your balls back. Relax.
All right.
The 2028 contest, it's going to run from April to the end of the season. It's a four divisions. You got to pick 1 through 7. The one with the most right will get the most rewards, and the one who gets the least amount of right will get the least amount of rewards.
Basically how contests usually work. Troy, you're just getting into the podcast. What do you think about nipple clamps?
Are you talking to me? I'm just here to listen.
Oh, well, you've been put on the air. Would you
By
like
the
to
way,
be
you're live.
Muted? Yeah, would you like to be muted?
I couldn't get the damn thing to work on my computer, so I decided I'd just call in so I could hear the end of it. And
nipple
clamps never worked for me. It hurts my boobies.
Okay, well, just in case you were wondering.
There's a visual for everybody.
Well, okay, here, just in case you're wondering about the links that are being posted in Slack right now, it was actually, it was a well-endowed quote-unquote woman. It was actually an ad to an eBay. You can buy it. As the advertisement states, make your nipples perky with pleasure with these multi-speed vibrating nipple clamps. With 10 patterns of pulsation, vibration, and escalation to choose from, nipple play has never felt this good. So, $34.99, I've included the link. Who's feeling frosty?
Is there any truth to the rumor, Mike, that you're going to buy the first team that succeeds you as division champ a set of nipple clamps as a thank you, if you will?
I will absolutely confirm on the podcast right now. I will buy the team who succeeds. So it's like I got to save up like $20 for like 5 years from now, but I will buy a team nipple clamp.
Man, that's 15.
Congratulations to Scott Davis on his nipple clamps.
Yeah, you know what? but here's the thing. if I'm buying the nipple clamps, I'm not just buying nipple clamps to send them. I want fucking proof that these nipple clamps are actually on the nipples of who I'm sending the recipient to. So you want the nipple clamps, I'll send you the nipple clamps. I want a picture. That's what I'm saying.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, if you're feeling froggy. And by the way, Troy, if you go back and listen to the podcast, there's numerous NXT references at the beginning of the podcast, which Gary said, ooh, I get a Gable instead of Able. I said, if you're ready, willing, and Gable. He's like, I get a Gable. He was a little confused. That's okay. It's about wrestling.
You gave me two Gables. I heard both of them.
I have no idea
what you're talking about, but I heard both
of them. Billy Joel has nothing on me. That's all I'm saying. by the way, this is 16 minutes of your life you cannot have back. We have not talked a single thing about ABL. This is what happens when we have a podcast. You're right. We talked about the contest, and you explained how contests generally work. The people who get the correct answer. Troy, since you came in, did you hear the contest explanation? Okay. All right, then. Anyways.
What else did you want? That was a yes-no question. Ask better questions. You get better answers.
All right. Roy, why the fuck did you create a...
We're working on that with them.
Here we go,
really
Troy.
Really not a good interviewer.
All right, you know, I'm glad you called in, Troy. Okay, here we go. You didn't ask me, but David said, what do you think? Okay, I'm going to get to it. Trade. What the fuck are you doing?
With my prospects?
Yeah, the prospect. $20 million, cold hard cash.
Yeah, and
Duke
I got another seven coming
off.
In behind it, too.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. From what I have multiple insiders across the league, and people are wondering if Duke City is actually going to leave Duke City. I mean, do they need a new stadium? Is there not enough public funding coming in? What's going on? Why is general manager Troy Olsen selling off prospects? Poor Pedro Martinez. I mean, he has to go to fucking Dallas.
Right. I mean, that's not only did he have to go to Dallas, but now the rumor is he's headed to Macon, Georgia. I mean, who really wants to go to freaking Georgia?
That's like going to Cleveland.
Hey, but at least
like
they have championships now, so at least they got
a first time in 52 years.
But no, I wanted to get out
know,
of. I had an opportunity. Good.
But you know what? With Cleveland, they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that has Billy Joel.
This is true.
He's a Hall of Famer, really?
Oh God, yes.
Oh, okay.
I know you don't get it, but he's legendary.
I get it. I mean, I actually Googled a couple. No, look, here's the thing. I Googled a couple of his songs, guys. I didn't get it. I mean, his songs were cool. I mean, it's not like my type of music, but I don't know. I mainly just Googled to see if I can get the references, which I did not. I'm sure you guys are going to pass multiple references over my head like last time, but that's okay.
No,
all
we did
was song
that.
Titles, dude. It was all song titles. And it was like his most famous songs too. We didn't even dig deep on that one.
Yeah, no, there were 16 different song titles mentioned.
Okay, well, Troy, I'm guessing you traded Pedro Martinez to the shithole that is Dallas for fiscal purposes, correct?
All right. I mean, I had an opportunity to get back in good shape with my finances because. As we all know, I was not properly prepared for revenue sharing. I misread something on my spreadsheet, and it bit me in the ass, and so I fixed the problem. And I'm going to miss Pedro. I think my scout loved him, but he also Davis also sent me another $7 million for Jose Salas, which will come out in the next sim. And that one I feel very good about.
But. And just to give a little heads up, rumor has it that Dallas is not done trading cash.
Rumor has it Dallas has $1 million in cash left. So I would really enjoy to see this trade actually happen. So if it happens, I will be shocked.
There's another team that he's talking to, according to my sources. And it's also in the Guadalupe division, that team. And... Yeah, well, Dallas is selling, so or he's buying actually.
He has no cash left.
He had $15 million to spend. $15 million to spend.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you that there's possibly a deal in the works.
Here's the thing. And this is how I understand it. I, after talking to Davis, talked to a couple of people I know in different leagues. From my understanding and from their understanding as well, and we can all be wrong here, you are able to trade cash from the cash you have on hand. You cannot trade projected budget room cash unless Goldie forces a trade through. And I don't think Goldie's going to force a trade through on something that he doesn't have. As of right now, I'm showing Dallas minus $1 million with $1 million in cash. That's what I'm showing.
Yeah, well, we talked about that. We talked about that often. You can't really go by that. You can only go by what's on your budget screen. The financial screen is not correct that you can look at other teams and get a 100% thing. Because
true.
I look at my accounting page, and then I look at the reports, the financial report that's in the game, and it's completely different. That being said, when you're looking at a trade, what I've understood it to be, you can trade as much money as you have for free agents. That's cash on hand. But money for extensions, you can't, no matter what your budget says. So
that's telling me that that's saying I have $78 million I can trade for a single player. I do not believe that to be correct.
If that's the money you have for free agents, that's your cash on hand, yeah.
All I know is he's done it. And my last one has not been approved yet, but I will I'll see if it is here in a couple of days. But I have no reason to believe that these trades aren't going to go through.
No, and I don't begrudge the trades either way. I'm just I just don't. That's not my understanding of how the game engine works. If it is, it is. Whatever. I mean, whatever. Not going to no sweat off
whatever.
My back.
I'm not going to jump in and worry about what somebody else is doing. If it can be done, it can be done. And if it can't be done, it can't be done. And that's the end of it.
Correct.
And we move on.
But correct. But here's the thing. If people are asking me questions and I'm giving them a different answer than someone else is giving that's the only thing.
Then there's obviously a problem. And then obviously there's a conflict. And we had that earlier in the week with when the options are actually charged to a player. You got to be careful when you're talking about, you know, rules and procedures and stuff like that, and you got to make sure you understand them. And it's if you're not 100% sure, then I would make sure that what you're giving is an opinion rather than stating it as fact and a rule. And that's
I will say this: since I've gotten all the money out of Davis that I can get out of him, I would have not done what he did, only because. I would have, because I mean, you can hold $30 million from year to year. So I don't know what his accounting sheet shows that he's going to make. I definitely would have, in the position that he's in, I would have made sure that I had $30 million more next year.
After you've gotten all his money, let's bury him, okay?
Listen, I understand what Troy's saying. I wouldn't have done it the way Davis did it. I would have looked to have done the same thing, but in a different way.
In my defense, I did tell Davis at one point in our trade negotiations, I did tell him, remember, you can carry $30 million. So it's not like I'm saying anything that I haven't said to Scott himself, who has quickly become one of my favorite people in this league. So I'm not in any way talking, you know, sideways about Scott because he's
a good guy
and valuable member of the league.
I don't think that's how it's being interpreted at all.
That's exactly
and,
how I'm interpreting it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
And that is Mike, M-I-K-E.
No. I'm just totally fucking around here. So, Troy, now that you're here and we kind of went in different directions here, do you think that Duke City will win the division next year?
I don't know. I'm not sure about this team right now. Because there's too many – the reason I'm not going to speak too much on projections right now or try to look into the future is my players look a lot better than they did in 16. And I know part of that they're using Zips versus whatever the hell else they
Pakoda.
Were using before.
Pakoda.
Yeah, and I didn't like Pakoda or Zips when it comes – because they're wrong more often than they're right, at least when it comes to the Kansas City Royals, and that's what I care about. And I don't know how that's going to react to our teams. Now – my team looks really damn good for the most part, except for this new rating system hates my offense. So, I mean, I don't know how that's going to relate to the game offense as far as stars go. I mean, I know stars aren't everything.
What did your?
I think this. Just before you move on with that,
the players are still the players. So if if your guys moved up or down, so did everybody else's. So so I think it's all relative. So I don't think it's going to matter that much.
I was about to ask Troy where his team landed offensively last year overall. I didn't quite remember off the top of my head. I mean,
not
you were above average.
I don't remember exactly either. I don't have the game open either, so I can't tell you for sure. But
you can make.
I can find it. I gotta see. I gotta see if I got the almanac loaded. No, I don't.
But I literally went out and signed a defensive catcher solely for when we play SoCal. No joke. I went out, took some of that money, and signed a defensive catcher. So when I go to SoCal, I can start a guy that can throw guys out on the bases, because it actually worked halfway decent in the playoffs. And at least that part of it did. The rest of the games did not go as planned, but I could at least kind of contain the base running. And so I'm going to do that. And then Hayden Capel's always had good luck against SoCal, so he's going to see him every series if I get my way.
Hey, Troy, we've got to face each other for the first time in 3 seasons.
Yeah, it's going to be good to go to the Interleague. And then I love that the Interleague is your division against our division, because it's definitely the best 2 divisions in this game. And it's going to be a slugfest and ugly, bloody battles.
Well, I can tell you what I like about it is that the wild cards in each division are coming from each division. It's not a crossover like what you wanted, you know, where the 2 division winners and the best. Everything is coming from your division. So if I'm up against, in my division, Maples, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Cabo, and me, the 5 of us are facing the same division, and that's yours. It's not
true.
Oh, he got an advantage because he played the other division and got, you know, Havana when Hardy was off his game. We got 42 divisions and 42 games, and that's against your division. And we're going to be ranked based on our own division. So it's better than the unbalanced schedule.
Now, see, if we had 42 divisions, then my team could actually win the division. It'd be very, very interesting.
I'm all for that. For more teams making it, just that I've thrown it out there a million times, but I'm still all for that. Let's do like hockey. Let's get like 16 teams in. That'd be great.
We don't have enough time to have this conversation. Not enough time in with 3 minutes remaining in the show to get into. What we should do with the playoff system.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't mind the playoff system. I like the way it is.
I don't mind it anymore. I've accepted it as it is. Plus, if you look back on it the last 2 years, all my bitching has been for naught, because every time I would have ended up in the second round against SoCal, it's just been how it's worked out. So it really wouldn't have changed anything for me. It would have changed my first round matchup, which might have changed for the other person, because I think Vegas was a better team 2 years ago than most of the other division. And I mean, I think, but I'm biased too, but I think the third place team in our division a lot of time is better than the third place team in the other side, and possibly the second place team. But with Montreal and Havana earned where they were last year, and I'm not going to take anything from them. So they were both very, very good, and they showed it. And I don't know that myself or anybody else in our division would have been better than those two. So I'm not gonna take away from them that way.
No, I agree with that. I think they involved.
Way to play it straight. Way to play it straight down the middle, guys.
With what?
Just the opinions.
Oh.
I get it.
I like the divisions the way they are and the way the playoffs are set up, because I want to face my teams in my division, and I think it creates a much, much better rivalry.
I don't agree with the rivalry thing, because the SoCal Duke City rivalry is not enhanced necessarily by us playing in the playoffs, because we've been the top 2 teams for so long at this point. That until until somebody really dismounts one of us as first and second, I mean, really does it. Now, yes, I got knocked out in a game 163 a while back. My team was down that year, injury ridden. Imagine that. But until somebody really takes away second place
from
me, or SoCal falls apart, I mean, it's our division to run with. And I do think two seasons ago that four teams in our division were playoff teams, and only two teams were on the other side. And I think the third place team was better than probably everybody in that division. But last year that wasn't the case. So that's what it wasn't that I'm playing it straight down the middle. It's just the way it was. Montreal and Atlanta were really good. Atlanta was really good about two starting pitchers he should have had.
But how much better would it be for you to beat SoCal than, let's say, somebody from the other division in a random playoff matchup? Me and Mikey have talked about it. Take something away from you if you had to move on and you didn't get the chance to be the one to knock them out.
You know what? No. The flag doesn't say we beat SoCal. It says World Series champions. That's the only one I want.
But I think Gary's point.
You all want that.
I think Gary's point of contention, and I actually brought it up, like, if I lose next year, say, to a Vegas team who gets out of the first round, or I lose in the wild card round to Seattle, whatever, like, it's cool. Like, I lose, but it's not going to be like Ballyhoo is if Duke beat you, like, 5 years in a row. Like, it's not – you know what I mean? It wouldn't be the same thing. Like, if I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose to Duke City because it adds to the storyline. Like, it's not – I mean, who cares if Seattle beats me? Seattle's been awful for fucking 10 years. Like, you know what I mean?
It's almost like the 2004 Red Sox when they came back from 3-0 to beat the Yankees after losing the way they did in 2003.
Right.
I don't think it would have meant the championship was a championship, but you can't tell me that championship wasn't made extra sweet by beating up the Yankees in that and coming back the way they did after what happened in 2003. That's what this rivalry does.
I'll tell you this. I was super stoked to play SoCal in the playoffs this year because our series had been so good the year before. And then this year it was not good. I mean, Allen got beat. Nobody really looked good. I mean, we just got our asses handed to us. And
it was kind of funny in our series this past year, though, Troy. None of our offenses were hitting. I mean, both of our staffs were pitching well. Allen and, you know, Tanner – for two games, gave up three runs combined in two games. You know what I mean? Like, that's like two games you toss out the window. They split it. You know what I mean? They just kind of tossed out the window to me. To me personally.
On the subject of those two, that is the first game of the year. Do you realize that? That is the first game of the year. You're going to throw somebody else? Well, that's stupid. Never mind.
I'm just totally fucking with you, Troy. Of course, Tanner Johnson versus Ross Allen. It's ESPN's game of the night for opening week.
We either need Jason to make that either the first game of the year or the last game of that day. It needs to be the primetime game or it needs to be the kickoff game because that should be the game of the day.
We're in SoCal, so it's going to be late. So
that's true.
I mean, I think, right? We're in SoCal? Are we in SoCal? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. We're always late because I'm mountain time too. We're later hours. Anyways, that's not important and that's boring radio.
It's a 10:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time game start.
So it would be ESPN
and it's in
the triple header.
Yeah, it's in SoCal. Yeah. Oh, by the way, just announcing, we're getting our World Series rings that day, so that'll be fun.
You know, that's like I have the hardest freaking May this year, and the easy. Well, of course, I say this, I'm probably getting my ass kicked, but I have a really hard May this year and a super easy September. So if I can somehow come out of May feeling halfway good, then I'm going to be well on my way.
Yeah, I was noticing it too. My September is fun. It's Las Vegas, Duke, Maple, San Francisco, Havana, Dallas, South Carolina. It's a very and then I end with Vegas. It looks like it's a very difficult September for me in terms of who's been good the last few years. So, you know, Troy, if you're close, maybe you can take the division this year, buddy.
Being 25 games back going into September probably won't help things.
I don't think you'll be 25 games back. My team, you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting this year. I'm excited for the regular season. I'm excited for the spring training especially. I'm excited to offer Hector Chavez $1 less than what he would have earned if he accepted his player option still, so that's fun. I don't know. I'm just ready for the upcoming season. I think there's a lot of fun storylines. With Christian leaving, not nearly as fun in that division next year because even if the Columbus Codebreakers, whatever the name are, make it, don't really care. It's not Montreal anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it kind of loses something. You know, he was a stalwart in the league. It was yeah. nice having him.
I think Manhattan Beach has an outside shot at that division, by the way. I said it last year. He held on until late and then kind of fell apart. He was five back heading into September. I really like Manhattan Beach again this year. Verm already, I think, the top 10 pitcher in this league.
I think you're right, but there is no way I would pick anybody over Havana. It's just
oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Havana should be good. He signed to a $25 million a year one. That's fine. He's okay. He's a decent pitcher. I mean, I don't think he's going to be the type of pitcher that has a chance against me and Troy in a long series, but to get to the regular season, I think he's fine. He should actually fit well in that park, too. He has decent movement, really, really, really good control, and his stuff is low, but he's in Havana where they play more of a defensive game and at home anyways. So he should be decent. We'll see. It's definitely Havana's division to lose this year. With Hardy coming back, Hardy did take a little decline for me. Not a big deal when your ratings are that good anyways. Whatever. But Havana, blah, 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 the last two scouting reports, he has 5 red, 3 pluses. They're only like a point or two either way. Not a big deal. And he got a 5 stuff bump. So we'll see. Hardy looks like an absolute fucking animal, so... It'll be interesting to see how much Hardy wants for an extension next year. I'm guessing it's going to be $30 to $40 million. Hopefully, Bob's preparing for that day.
That and revenue sharing.
Well, yeah, he's going to have a $40 million player expense plus revenue sharing. So I'm thinking he timed out Cano correctly. He has a 2-year deal and then just that $5 million buyout. And then after that, he'll have to pay Hardy.
Yeah, Hardy could be a free agent after the 2030 season, after the 29th season.
You got to figure...
Because he's at 40 years, 77 days now. At the end of this year, he's at 577. At the end of 29, he's at 677, and that makes him free agent eligible.
Bob has a lot of good players under control, so he'll be fine.
27 years old, and Hardy could be a free agent. Now, the way the game is working, it just seems like the players seem to want to test free agency. So...
Most of them do, unless they're old.
Yeah. Exactly. So imagine a 27-year-old Hardy hitting the free agent market. What
would
he command?
I'll pay him $60 million. Yeah, I'll pay him $60 million. I don't care. He can have $2 million to start. Fine by me. I mean, I'm being facetious,
right there
of course.
You.
I'm being facetious,
no, you're not.
No, I'm not. I mean, I am and I'm not. I wouldn't really pay him
$60.
No,
yes,
I'm not.
You would.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
you
would. I would totally pay him $60 million. I totally would. I would love to throw 4 lefties in my rotation, especially with Tanner and Hardy and Bravo and Tamura. I mean, I'm staring down the Bravo extension too, so I mean, I'm kind of seeing what's going to go on.
You want to know something? We got no time left to cover what we needed to cover. So we can do it tomorrow.
Right. I mean,
so
I blame Troy.
We got about 6 minutes and 40 seconds left in this broadcast. So where do we want to go now?
Real quick, it looks like next season, and I just quickly pulled it up.
2028 or
2029? 2029. Gallegos, Ford, Weeks, Callahan, Cox, Phoenix, Smith.
Why is Troy heavy breathing?
Sorry.
Nipple clamps.
I'm in the middle of buying stuff on MLB.com with my T-Mobile Tuesday $20 off deal, and so I was just resting it on my chest, so I must have had it too close to my face.
Too much to the nipple. Too close to the
nipple
clamps.
Right. Nipple clamps.
Too excited about the hats I'm getting. That's what gets me excited.
That's what she said.
TMI. Oh my
God. TMI, bro. But I just quickly pulled it up. Next season, we're going to have Gallegos at 33 Gould. Of course, it's a little bit older, but we're going to have Weeks, Callahan, Cox, Phoenix Smith, Dunkel, or Brody. We're going to have quite a few people hit free agency potentially as starting pitchers for the first time in a while, actually. And I've been keeping my tabs on who's hitting free agency, as well as Mr. Cummings. It's definitely not going to be loaded offensively. Offensively, it looks extremely weak next year. Like, this year was a crazy, crazy, crazy good offensive season. But next year does not look as good. Jacksonville, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to accidentally let Pan go because he accidentally lets everybody go. So that'll probably be the best free agent.
Oh, man.
He does. He lost six guys in fucking Rule 5. Come on, bro.
Five
that'd
guys.
Be one of the biggest. Dean Regan looks like he's a possible free agent as well. Who knows? Steve Wagner, I can confirm I'm
Dane
not.
Dane Regan, rumor has it he's going to be extended. I've been getting,
yeah,
I had sources close to me tell me that.
Yeah, we'll have to listen
to the ABL bug
tomorrow. Yeah. Hashtag segue. But yeah, man, I mean, free agency looks good next year. I'm excited for the season. We've talked about absolutely nothing. We spent 10 minutes talking about Ghostbusters, nipple clamps, and how old I am.
Howard Stern.
You know, Howard Stern. So, you know, basically a normal podcast stuff. We'll have to do another podcast tomorrow to get some stuff that we need to get to.
Oh, God.
I am very, very, very...
We are so OCD. Look, squirrel.
Squirrel, yeah, no. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. Okay, so, Troy, I don't know if you're going to get on the podcast again before the start of the regular season. You want to predict out the divisions real quick? The top three in each?
Oh, God, no. I'm not here.
Okay.
No, don't do that now.
Do it now. Okay. Here's a better question. Who finishes last?
You can
last?
Give division winners. Who wins the divisions?
Yeah.
I'd say on our side, because I haven't even looked at the other side, but I'd say on our side it's going to look a lot like this year. But I agree with you. I think Manhattan Beach, Montreal, and Havana on that side, and then you and I and whoever else can find their way into that third spot in our division.
Who wins the division in your side? You're going to take it from
until somebody takes it from him, it's SoCal's division to lose, and I am not predicting myself to take it this year because I don't feel that good about my team yet.
Now, what about the other
one?
Manhattan Beach, out of Manhattan Beach, Columbus Codebreakers, former Montreal team in Havana.
Are we not feeling Brooklyn? Who had like the third best record after the postseason, after the break last year?
That's not who he mentioned.
Okay.
If Havana's healthy, it's his division.
There you go.
Bob ends up with a ton of injuries, then it's wide open. And I agree with Mr. SoCal that we could see Manhattan Beach with that division.
Yeah, I go Havana and SoCal.
For
the same reasons. You can't take the division away from him. He's got to give it up.
I mean, come on, guys. I'm going for 14 division titles in a row here. Let's keep it going. See what happens. So we get to 15.
I have a really important question.
Ooh, yes.
Is Gary's team going to finally quit underperforming and actually get to the playoffs this year?
No, it's not because he likes to get guys who get suspensions for drugs. So it's like if Gary like literally has the hardest problem of anybody in the league of getting out of his own fucking way. It's like unbelievable. Like, seriously,
yeah,
it's historically epic. Fucking Martinez is out for 80 games for smoking the ganja. Rumor has it.
Thank God it was him. And you know what? Thank God it was my first baseman who got nailed, you know, rather than another key position, because you can kind of find a ton of people. And I got Dobby who can go to first base.
But
so,
I'm saying, like, even like
shortstop would have been a tough spot. Catcher would have been a tough spot.
He's disliked now. I mean, and your tickets are going to go down because of it. Like, that's just crazy.
We'll see.
Disliked nationally. Locally, though, I was surprised locally disliked him. I thought locally they would have been like, yeah, whatever. But no. He's
all right. Before we go on, we got a minute left. On my side, I'll make the prediction here that Maple wins the division again, as does Mile High on a repeat.
Okay, I don't even have Mile High making the playoffs next year, but go on.
Yeah, I don't believe in them.
I like Mile High. I think he's trending the right way. Georgia, I would have thought, but based on the WAR decrease that he had this offseason, he took a major hit. He lost a 7+ WAR, and I'm kind of thinking that might come and upset the apple cart. Okay, so you're five games closer, Troy. How many were you back last year?
20.
Oh my God! See, you've already cut the deficit by 25%. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Well, Nakashima had a 5-war.
Good night, everyone.
You know, I don't think I really lost anybody this offseason because I didn't really have anybody to lose. I'm pretty good about locking my guys up. So I've got one of the guys I just traded for. He's not going to be a big name or anything.